The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter number 1, text number 19, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasadgikari, recorded on April 7th, 2011, in Vrindavan, India.
So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter number 1, text number 19. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Vayam tu na vitrityama uttama shloka vikrame yat shrinvatam rasa yanam svadu svadu pade pade Vayam tu na vitrityama uttama shloka vipkrame yat shrinvatam rasa gyanam svadu svadau pade pade Vayam tu na vitrityama Uttama shloka vikrame yat shrinvatam rasa gyanam svadu svadu pade pade vayam we to but na not Vitripyama shall be at rest. Uttama shloka, the personality of Godhead, who is glorified by transcendental prayers. Vikrame, adventures, yet. Which Shrinvatam by continuous hearing rasa humor jnanam those who are conversant with svadhu relishing svadhu palatable pade pade at every step. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. We never tire of hearing the transcendental pastimes of the personality of Godhead, who is glorified by hymns and prayers. Those who have developed a taste for his transcendental relationships with him relish hearing of his pastimes at every moment. Purport. There is a great difference between mundane stories, fiction, or history and the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. The histories of the whole universe contain references to the pastimes of the incarnations of the Lord. The Ramayana, Mahabharata, and the Puranas are histories of bygone ages recorded in connection with the pastimes of the incarnations of the Lord, and therefore remain fresh even after repeated readings. For example, anyone may read Bhagavad Gita or the Srimad Bhagavatam repeatedly throughout his whole life, and yet find in them new light of information. Mundane news is static, whereas transcendental news is dynamic, inasmuch as the spirit is dynamic and matter is static. Those who have developed a taste for understanding the transcendental subject matter, are never tired of hearing such narrations. One is quickly satiated by mundane activities, but no one is satiated by transcendental or devotional activities. Uttama Shloka indicates that literature which is not meant for nescience. Mundane literature is in the mode of darkness or ignorance, whereas transcendental literature is quite different. Transcendental literature is above the mode of darkness, and its light becomes more luminous with progressive reading and realization of the transcendental subject matter. The so-called liberated persons are never satisfied with the repetition of the words Aham Brahmasmi. Such artificial realization of Brahman becomes hackneyed, and so to relish real pleasure, they turn to the narrations of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Those who are not so fortunate turn to altruism and worldly philanthropy. This means the Mayavad philosophy is mundane, whereas the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam is transcendental. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Badakamala Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajata Sagana Raguna Tanvita Tam Sajiva Sadaita Zavaduta Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakonvitamscha. So, what is the point? The point is, if you're really hearing this message, I mean, if you're really tuned in, if you're really attuned to the message of the Bhagavatam, you'll derive unlimited pleasure from this. You won't think of anything else. You won't need anything else. Even eating and sleeping will be a distraction for you. Look at the example of Parikshit Maharaj. Did he take any eating and sleeping breaks during his hearing of the Bhagavatam? How many times did he get up to go to the bathroom? Or to take a nap or to eat during the recitation of the Bhagavatam? None. 7 days straight. If I said, okay, now lock the door, we're going to sit here for 7 days straight, no one's going anywhere, no drinking water, no going to the bathroom, no eating, no sleeping, just sit here for 7 days, how many? And say, great, I'm ready. And say, are you kidding? Let me out of here quick. You see? Let me out of here. What is going on here? A 7 days Bhagavatam club. You see? Just see how we don't have any taste. Our position is we have practically no taste for hearing this message. You understand the point? If you had actual taste and you heard there's going to be 7 days with no breaks, your hairs would stand on end. Wow! 7 days of Bhagavatam with no breaks. You'd be jumping up and down. Hari Bo, Hari Bo, Hari Bo. You see? So the question is, how do we get from our present conditioned state of consciousness, where we're waiting for the class to be over, to the liberated state of consciousness where we pray that the class will never end? How do we make that transition? You understand? How do we make the transition? How do I purify myself to where I actually get a real taste for hearing the Bhagavatam? How do I do that? Well, the answer is very simple. You know what the answer is? Hear the Bhagavatam. That's all you have to do. Just hear the Bhagavatam. Tune in, turn on, and drop out of the material world. You see? Do you realize that simply by hearing this message, you can be carried beyond this material existence into the transcendental abode of Lord Krishna? Do you know that? The sound vibration of the Bhagavatam is an airplane. Mantra Vimana. The sound vibration of the Bhagavatam is an airplane. And if you place yourself firmly in that airplane by submissive aural reception, that means hearing carefully with full attention and interest, the message of the Bhagavatam will carry you into the transcendental abode of the Lord. In other words, you will become immortal. You will achieve immortality. The Bhagavatam is called nectar or amrit. You know what amrit means literally? Means not, and amrit means death. The Bhagavatam is called amrita, or that transcendental subject matter which bestows immortality. Because if you will receptively hear this message will make you immortal. Your body will still die. But your eternal spiritual identity will be turned on. See? Right now, our eternal spiritual identity is turned off. And our false ego is turned on. I'm great. I'm cool. Is it? I'm hot stuff, is it? Our false ego is turned on. And our real ego, the spirit soul, is practically dead right now, turned off. You see? So by hearing this message, the real ego becomes activated more and more and more, and the false ego becomes more and more and more deactivated. So, there is nothing more auspicious, nothing more beneficial, nothing more enlightening, nothing more enlivening, nothing more thrilling, nothing more exciting, nothing more dynamic, nothing more amazingly fantastic and splendorous, you understand, than hearing the Bhagavatam. This is the ultimate experience. In this material world, everyone's looking for the ultimate experience, but no one knows. It's right here in the Bhagavatam. This is the ultimate experience. Hearing the Bhagavatam means meeting Krishna face to face, eye to eye. The Bhagavatam is Krishna himself. If you fully embrace the Bhagavatam into your heart, then you're taking the lotus feet of Krishna, Shyam Sundar, directly into your heart. So now do you know why Parikshit Maharaj could sit there for 7 days, completely undisturbed? Now do you understand? Because his spiritual identity became fully activated. In other words, you do not have to wait until death to have your spiritual identity fully activated. There's one famous devotee, perhaps you've heard his name, Bilva Mangala Thakur. He lived for hundreds of years here in Braj. And he was actually in the pastimes of Krishna. Within his heart, he was entering into Krishna. His body was here, but he was actually in the pastimes of Krishna with his true, in his true identity as spirit soul. So, you can do that. This Krishna consciousness, brasas, is an inward journey. Externally, we're doing so many things, going here, going there. You see? So many external things. But actually, it's an internal journey. It's a journey within. Because Krishna is within your heart. The spiritual world is within your heart. You simply have to learn how to connect with that spiritual world through submissive aural reception from the bona fide spiritual master. You see? It has to be a proper source. If you hear from a charlatan, and the material world is full of charlatans these days who pose as spiritual masters who simply do it for some ulterior purpose of name, fame, women, followers, money, etc. Don't be hooked in by one of these charlatans who takes the position of guru simply to exploit you. It's very important that you find out the bona fide spiritual master. That person who has no personal motive whatsoever, who simply wants to serve you, who wants to help you, who wants to bless you with Krishna prema. You see, that is the bona fide spiritual master. Because there's nothing else that's valuable in this world except for Krishna prema. I don't care if you have 10 billion crores of rupees. I don't care if you become the most famous rock star, the most famous soccer player. These things are like the will-o'-the-wisp. They have no value. They come and they go. You see? Anything you may achieve in this material world simply slips through your hand. That's all. You can never keep it. You can never keep it. This world is called asat. It's temporary. There's nothing here you can keep. You can be a big prime minister. You can be a big multi-billionaire, a famous athlete, a famous musician, a famous scholar. You can have any kind of position in this world. You will lose everything. Everything you will lose. Therefore, there's only one thing that's truly worth your focus, your dedication to achieve, and that is Krishna prema. You may say, well, Krishna prema, what's the advantage of that? The advantage of achieving Krishna prema is, do you know what you achieve when you achieve Krishna prema? Do you know what you get when you achieve Krishna prema, pure love of God? Do you know what you get? You get Krishna. Krishna becomes your personal property. That person who's the most beautiful, the most powerful, the most renowned, the most wealthy, the most famous person in all of existence, who controls everything, from whom everything is coming, who's within every atom, who's between every atom, who knows perfectly everything about everything, that person who's the supreme personality of Godhead will become subordinate to you as your personal property. Just as he became subordinate to Mother Jasoda. Now that's a big position, you see. The Mayavadis, they say, I want to become God. But the Vaishnavas say, why become God? That's an inferior position. A devotee of God, that's bigger, you see. Because Krishna becomes a servant of his devotee. Why become God Becoming a devotee of God, that's a bigger position than becoming good. You see? What is the proof? Arjuna? Who was the chariot driver of Arjuna? Parthasarathi, Krishna, you see. Krishna will become your personal servant if you fully give yourself to him with love and devotion. So, you boys now, you're in the Gurukula, you're in the ashram of Prabhupada, to be trained how to become a lover of God. This is the most fortunate position. Very few people in the world have the great opportunity to be trained in the ashram of Prabhupada. You have the greatest good fortune. Take full advantage of this opportunity and awaken your dormant Krishna consciousness. You say, well, now I'm just gonna, yeah, now I gotta just play around, you know, play some soccer and run here and there. Later on, I mean, it's not really the time to become serious about prema bhakti. What do you mean? It's not the right time to become serious about prema bhakti. How old was Prahlad when he attained prema bhakti? You see? Do you have to become an adult to be serious about Krishna consciousness? That's ridiculous. Do any of you think that? That now is not the time for becoming serious about pure bhakti? That's later on in life? Do any of you think that way? If you do, kick it out right now. You're stupid. You're damn stupid. This is the time to become serious about spiritual life right now. Why? Because death can come at any moment. Your death can come today. Are you ready? Or are you in the mirror of pure devotion? Or are you just trying to enjoy this material world? You have to ask yourself seriously, am I in the mood of pure devotion? Or am I in the mood of trying to enjoy this material world? You see? Which is it? Am I more interested in sleeping? Or more interested in hearing the Bhagavatam? You see? What is my mood? You have to be your own psychologist to analyze yourself. Don't wait for your teacher to correct you. You learn how to correct yourself. In that way, you become your own guru, you see. Learn how to correct yourself. When you see your mind is going away from Krishna, you have to correct yourself. What are you doing, rascal? Why are you letting your mind go away from Krishna? Bring it back to Krishna, you see. When you see you're talking frivolous words, which are not beneficial for my Krishna consciousness or the Krishna consciousness of others, stop yourself. Say, wait a minute, what am I doing here? You know what Prabhupada said about speaking? He said a gentleman thinks twice before speaking anything. Do we do that, or we just kind of blurt it out? Do you just blurt out everything you say, or do you think carefully before you speak? You see? If you blurt out your words, then my dear Gurukula boys, I have to tell you, you're no better than an animal. You're no better than an animal. You just blurt out your words. You're like a chirping bird. Chirp, 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 chirp. But if you will consider carefully anything that comes out of your mouth before you speak it, you'll carefully analyze, is this proper Krishna conscious word to speak? You see? Then you become very, very sober and very, very fixed up in Krishna consciousness and very, very happy person. You become so happy. If you can be very serious to cultivate bhakti at every minute as the prime goal of your existence within this universe, and then everything will fall automatically into place. Your whole life will become auspicious. Everything will become auspicious. So, this is our request to you. You are young boys now. So, you have the best time for learning. The older one gets, the more difficult it is to learn. There's a saying in English, you can't teach a dog, an old dog, new tricks. Now you have young, fertile brains. Utilize this for becoming very learned in Vedic wisdom. How many of you are memorizing as many shlokas as possible? Is it? How many of you, not one hand went up? You just don't wait for your teachers to tell you to memorize verses. You should memorize verses for your own benefit, so you can preach to your own mind, and so you can preach to the world, to make the whole world Krishna conscious. You are meant to be a spiritual revolutionary on this planet, to bring in a new era of Chaitanya, of the Chaitanya age for the suffering people of this planet. You're not meant to be a fruitive worker in this world. You're meant for being a spiritual revolutionary, to say, to turn the world upside down, to put it back on its feet. You see, the world is upside down now, and now we have to turn it upside down again and bring it right side up. You should take that as your mission, to be a spiritual revolutionary for Prabhupada, to put the world back on its proper course, you see. So you should be training yourself, becoming very expert in rising early, joyfully rising early, taking very good focus on the holy names, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Becoming very learned in the books of Prabhupada, reading all of Prabhupada's books, learning as many verses as possible, and learning how to have a very, very good service attitude for your teachers and for each other. Always looking for the opportunity to serve. How can I serve you? How can I serve you? How can I serve you? You see, everyone as your Prabhu, your master, that I'm your servant. So in this way, if you will cultivate the qualities of a Vaishnava, and now in your youth time, then you will have the most wonderful, glorious life of Krishna consciousness. So I can ask now if there's any questions. Are you dull? Yeah.
How to increase the desire to learn the spiritual science?
Increase the desire to
learn the spiritual science.
To learn the very good question. How to increase the desire to learn the spiritual science is a very good question. Thank you very much. If I understand that only this spiritual science can make me happy. Only this spiritual science can enable me to actually do good for others in this world. This is the only way I can be happy and make others happy. Then one naturally will want to become more serious about learning this science. In other words, there's nothing else. You have no alternative, really. The alternative to this spiritual science is birth, death, old age, and disease. Would you like to rot? Is it? How about when you feel like dying right now? Somebody comes to kill you, you volunteer. Someone says, we want to sacrifice one group, Gurukulpati, to Garuda today. Well, you volunteer. Like Garuda eats snakes, you know. We want to sacrifice one Gurukulpati to Garuda today. Will you jump forward to no one wants to die. Is it? So, this science is the only way to become free from old age, disease, and death, and birth, and the birth that comes after that for another series of birth, old age, disease, and death. Since this is the only way you can actually become liberated, if you understand this, then naturally you will want to take it seriously. Just like you've all heard about that. There was a famous ship called the Titanic. They said, this is the ship that will never sink. And on its maiden voyage, its first voyage, it sank in the northern Atlantic Ocean where the icebergs were there. So, if someone says, The ship is sinking. It's time to go for the lifeboats. Will you be serious to find out where are the lifeboats? How do I get to the lifeboat? Would you be serious to find out how to get to the lifeboat? Lifeboat? Of course I would. Yeah, where's the lifeboat? You say, no, I'm not interested in the lifeboat. I just want to, you know, enjoy the ship. How you can enjoy the ship? It's a sinking ship. What's the enjoyment? On the Titanic, let me go for one more dance in the ballroom. The orchestra is still playing. Let me go for one more dance in the ballroom. Will you be interested? No, the ship's sinking. How do I find the lifeboat? So the science of bhakti is the lifeboat which will free you from birth, death, old age, and disease. Only an idiot would not be serious about it. So the way to be serious is don't be an idiot. That's all. Don't be an idiot fool who thinks he can continue to enjoy this material existence. And how do you avoid being an idiot fool? You have to hear the Bhagavatam. You have to hear from Guru. You have to hear from senior devotees with respect and attention. If you do that, naturally you'll become serious. You see? So the key is good hearing. You hear from Guru, you hear from senior devotees with respect. And by that hearing, that mood of serious bhakti will become your personal property. Thank you for that nice question. Any other questions? Yes. How does memorizing slokas help? Well, one thing is, if you're going to preach, you have to be able to quote the authoritative references. If you can't quote authoritative references when you're preaching, then people will think you're just giving your own opinion. And that preaching does not mean giving your own opinion. How many times does Prabhupada quote the authoritative references? To be an expert preacher, you have to know many verses and quote them regularly in your preaching. Otherwise, people think you're just giving your own opinion. You see? And for your own benefit as well, there's nothing more powerful for bringing your mind under control than to meditate on a verse from the Shastra. It's the most powerful way to, when your mind becomes embodied, you immediately think of some sloka, and your mind is immediately pacified. So verse, just like a soldier, he has many weapons on the battlefield. He has a rifle, he has hand grenades, he has a bayonet, he knows how to do martial arts with his hands if necessary. You see, he's fully equipped with many kinds of weapons. Or in the Vedic times, so many different types of mantras and mystical arrows he had, you see. So the bigger arsenal the warrior possesses, the more powerful he is in the battlefield. So what for a Brahmin, what is his arsenal? Shlokas. The more you have shlokas, the more powerful you are as a preacher. Because that is your arsenal. You have your quiver of shlokas ready to deliver at a moment's notice. You see? You understand? I advise my disciples they should make a list of 108 shlokas and then dedicate their whole life to learning those shlokas. Because these verses are very powerful. Every day I work on learning more and more verses. It's so powerful. Yeah. Rupa Goswami has given so many nice shlokas. Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's so wonderful thing. Every devotee should know so many verses. It's like for Bhakti Shastri training, you have to know verses to pass Bhakti Shastri. Are you doing it simply for some certificate? No. We're doing it for our Krishna consciousness. Because the more you're learned in Krishna, Prabhupada said we should know these books just like a lawyer knows his law books. Lawyers are amazing in the courtroom. You ever heard a lawyer in the courtroom arguing with them, putting forward a case? Citing this reference and that reference to make his case before the judge. They're very, very expert at citing references. So we have to be like a lawyer who can cite all the Shastic references to back up our points. And does that answer your question? Any other questions? Yes.
How can we convince people about the science of Krishna?
About the what of Krishna?
Science
of Krishna. The way to convince people about the science of Krishna is you become convinced. Conviction is a contagious disease. How did Prabhupada convince us? You see, you all are mostly Indians. Prabhupada came to America, he wasn't preaching to any Indians, you see. They were all Christians and Jews, no Hindus. Prabhupada told us that God is a little blue cowherd boy that plays a flute. And I'm standing on the bank of the Jamuna at Keshi Ghat in the full moon night of the Sharad season. Now, for a Hindu, that's not a problem. But for a Christian or a Jew, how could a Christian or a Jewish boy or a girl in America accept that God is a little blue cowherd boy that plays a flute standing on the bank of the Jamuna at Keshi Ghat in the full moon night of the Sharad season with a peacock feather in his hair? People would say, "You're nuts! That's ridiculous." The conception of God in the Western world, he's an old man with a beard. He must be hard of hearing also. It's an old man with a beard. That's Michelangelo's conception of God in the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel in Rome. An old man with a beard. So how did Prabhupada convince us? Because Prabhupada himself was convinced beyond any shadow of a doubt that God is a little blue cowherd boy that wears a peacock feather in his hair and a yellow dhoti. And he has yellow dhoti and he stands on the bank of the Jamuna at Keshi Ghat playing the fifth note on his flute in the full moon night of the Sharad season shining very bright, with his threefold bending form shining very bright in the moonlight. You see? Because Prabhupada was convinced. His conviction was contagious. And by associating with Prabhupada, we also became convinced. So if you want to convince the world that Krishna is God, you simply become 100% convinced that Krishna is God, beyond any shadow of a doubt, and that you're his eternal servant. And if you do that, I guarantee you, you can convince the entire world. You have to become absolutely convinced beyond any shadow of a doubt, then you can convince the whole world with no problem. You should have Shastric evidence and logical evidence also. You see, the average person doesn't accept the authority of Shastra, so we have to be expert in logical argument also to establish God. This is like Prabhupada gave one proof of God. He said that every machine has an operator. Can you show me any machine that doesn't have an operator? Every machine is like this fan, someone has to pull the thing, a harmonium, someone has to pump it, a computer, somebody has to turn it on, a car, someone has to start it. Every machine requires an operator. So, since every machine requires an operator, Prabhupada said, therefore I can guess that the cosmic machine also requires an operator. You see? So there is the proof of God's existence, because every machine requires an operator. So you should have all scriptural arguments, Ishvara Paramaha Krishna, and all logical arguments as well, for those who do not accept scripture, to establish that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Okay, I'll stop here. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.